Chapter 3. It hurts worse than anything the crows ever did to him, and for a wild moment, Zevran wonders why he isn't walking away. Does he want this pain, this knife that stabs his gut with every sob that racks Alistair's body? Only a fool would seek this out rather than run from it. Which makes him the biggest fool in Thedas, because running is the farthest thing from his mind. Instead, he huddles closer around Alistair, as if it's possible to physically shield him from the pain that turns his sobs into a long, keening moan, a sound that rises and falls with his breathing. Tears burn behind Severin's eyes, and he can hear his own voice breaking, begging the way he never thought he would. He can swallow all the stupid things he hoped for, that he should never have allowed himself to hope for. But he can't swallow the memory of Alistair scratching himself bloody. Those bloodied hands are against his cheek now, and Zevran turns to kiss them, tasting blood on his lips. It makes him even sicker, knowing every bit of this is his fault. He should have known it was too much to ask of Alistair, had known it was too much, even if he was only accepting what Alistair offered. He should have walked away, found someone else to give him what he needed. But he didn't walk away then, and now he can't. All he can do is hold Alistair, his muscles burning with effort until eventually the keening softens into gasping breaths and the occasional choked sob. "I'm sorry," Alistair whispers. Zevran wants to scream, wants to make him understand all the things that are wrong with that sentence. But a shred of his training holds.
"You have nothing to be sorry for, cachorro."
Under his arm, Alistair's chest heaves another sob, and Zevran kisses the back of his neck, nearly the only skin he can reach. His life has been spent persuading people to do what he wants, even when that puts them in danger. And yet, now he can't find the words to convince Alistair of the truth, that none of this is his fault.
"You should go," Alistair whispers. "You shouldn't. I don't deserve. Go away."
Zevran shakes his head without speaking, knowing Alistair will feel the movement.
"I can't," Alistair whispers.
When he doesn't go on, Zevran swallows and uses every ounce of control he has to keep his voice level.
"Can't what, cachorro?"
"Can't," Alistair says again, more forcefully.
"I can't. What I did, I can't."
For a moment, Zevran thinks he'll stop there. But then more words tumble out, nearly falling over each other.
"I can't keep this in my head. I don't want it. I don't want to be like Hal, but I am. And I'm like that other... a wolf. You called him a wolf, and I'm no different. And if I'm not any different, then I should be dead just like them."
Zevran's whole body goes cold, but the words keep flowing.
"Because that's what's right, and I know that, and I know what I need to do, and I was going to do it. Para,"
Zevran begs, desperate to stop the words, as if that will somehow change the thoughts behind them. Bad enough that Alistair will likely die facing the Archdemon, 100 times worse for him to go to his death thinking he deserves it. Even if Alistair hears him, he ignores the plea, words coming faster.
"And Morgan, she has a way. Mahariel said it was a good idea. She wants to save me. But if she knew..."
For a moment, Zevran doesn't understand. Then the world freezes, narrows down to this courtyard, to the air he drags in so he can ask.
"Morgan has a way to what?" "To kill the Archdemon without it killing me, or Mahariel. But I don't deserve..."
"Pada!" He doesn't know how much more he can take. There's a brief silence. Then Alistair asks, in an almost normal voice,
"Bahada?"
Braska. He didn't even realize he was speaking Antivan. It should scare him more than anything else tonight, but it's just an irritant. Only annoying because it means he has to repeat himself.
"Stop," he says. "Please stop."
"I can't." Alistair's shivering is strong enough to make Zevran tremble too.
"I've tried and I can't, and And it's the only thing I can think of, because if they should be dead, then I should be too. Zevran's hands close into fists, one in Alistair's tunic and one in his hair. You are not Hal, he says fiercely. You are not him, and you are not like him, and you will never be like him. I hurt you, Alistair whispers. You gave me a gift. A gift with a higher cost than either of them expected. But it's too late now to do anything except pay it. What do you think Hal would have done if he had been there in your place? Alistair shakes his head as best he can with Zevran's hand in his hair. He would have tried to take me apart piece by piece, Zevran says. That's what I did. The words are barely audible. The truth is so much harder than lies. Zevran tells it anyway. You did, he says, and Alistair stiffens, but only because I let you. Do you think I would have done the same for a man like Hal? Tension hums between them, a lute string ready to snap, and Zevran presses another kiss to Alistair's fingers. At least the skin isn't bleeding anymore. Hal was a wolf, cachorro, he murmurs, and you are nothing like him. He would say that even if you didn't believe it, Alistair says. This is not something I would lie about. Not here, not now. I would kill Hal 1,000 times if it would make you believe me, but I cannot, and anything I say you could distrust as easily. So we are at an impasse, are we not? He's not sure himself if he's joking or giving up. His emotions are too tangled to pick them apart. Anger at himself and at Hal, fear for Alistair, gut-wrenching horror that anyone should mean so much to him, and a crushing helplessness he hasn't felt in years. Even after Irina's death, he had a plan. Now he has nothing. Beneath him, Alistair stirs, shoulders shrugging and arms pushing out until Zevran lets go. The night air is cold on his skin, and he feels more alone than ever as he crosses his arms over his chest and tries to pretend the gesture is only because of the autumn chill. Slowly, stiff as an old man, Alistair uncurls, bracing his hands on his knees for a moment before he sits back on his heels. His eyes are puffy, his cheeks blotchy, and it takes all Zevran's control to bite back, "Please don't leave me." He has no right to ask Alistair for anything. Alistair looks up, meeting his eyes at last. The air between them heavy with all the lies and slanted truths Zevran has ever told. Alistair is ready to pull away, and Zevran knows that if it happens, this time it will be for good. If he wants this thing between them to end, all he has to do is tell one more lie, make one more joke about something he's never found amusing. You should go, Alistair whispers. Zevran's throat closes. And the longer the silence lasts between them, the more the cold sinks down through his skin and into his bones. Every breath trembles in his chest, and he's shivering so hard his teeth would be chattering if he didn't have his jaw clenched tight. All his faltering attempts at truth are too little, too late. Alistair will turn down Morgan's help and face the archdemon glad to die, because Zevran said yes when he should have said no. And here he is again, caught between those two simple words, about to make the same mistake he made last time, taking with no thought to the cost. If that is what you want, he says, ignoring the way the words burn in his throat. Alistair's face crumples, and Zevran feels like someone has gutted him, like everything vital has been cut out, leaving only bones and flesh to move in a parody of life. Entreaties and apologies try to push their way out, but he closes his throat against them and gathers himself to stand. I don't want to be like Hal, Alistair whispers. Zevran freezes in place, still on one knee and unsure whether he should speak or be silent, whether he should stay where he is or leave Alistair in peace. Alistair's hands clench into fists. Please don't let me be like Hau. For a moment, Zevran thinks the words are a prayer to the Maker, as much a plea as that earlier, I am not alone. But Alistair isn't looking up at the sky. He's staring into Zevran's eyes like he's begging for his life, and hope bursts inside Zevran's chest, as painful as stretching out his hands to a fire after too long in the cold. There is nothing of Hau in you. His voice doesn't break, not after all his years of training, but he almost wishes it had, if that would convince Alistair of his sincerity. You would grow wings and fly long before you became anything like him.
If I did, Alistair sucks in a short, harsh breath. If I did, would you stop me?
Slowly, afraid Alistair will flinch back, Zevran reaches out to touch his face.
Yes, Cachorro. If you did, I would stop you.
Alistair's eyes close.
Please don't let me hurt you. I don't want to hurt you.
That has never been a thing I feared.
Not the way Alistair means it, at any rate.
And do you know why?
Why?
The answer is so quiet. Zevran doesn't hear the word so much as feel the shape of it under his hand.
Because from the first, all I ever had to say was stop. Do you know how strange that was to me?
Another truth, so terrifying he can barely say it aloud. So he rushes past it.
When I said pause, you stopped.
What if I don't next time?
New tears slip out from beneath Alistair's closed eyelids.
I almost didn't that time.
Zevran rubs the tears away with his thumb and brings up his other hand to cradle Alistair's face.
When you heard, you stopped.
But what if I don't? What if I turn into someone who doesn't?
No one changes in a single night, Zevran says. There are 100 steps along that road, and you hate the thought of even looking down it.
Alistair opens his mouth, only to close it again after a moment, his expression guarded despite the tears drying on his face.
Tell me?
Zevran wants to know, but he barely has the right to ask. And no right at all to command.
Would you know the difference?
The words come out all in a rush, and Alistair wraps a hand tightly around one of Zevran's, as if he means to pull it away from his face. Zevran tenses again, stomach taking another dive for the ground, only to feel tears gathering behind his eyes when Alistair presses their joined hands harder against his cheek.
I know the difference,
Zevran whispers, leaning close enough to rest his forehead against Alistair's. He wants more than just Alistair's hand on his, wants skin contact so much it's almost a need, but he's afraid to push, afraid to ask for anything in case it proves to be too much.
I will tell you if you go too far.
The fingers of Alistair's free hand brush lightly over the tattoo on his cheek, and Zevran turns into it. He deliberately ignores the part of him that's appalled to realize he's lost track of himself so completely that he closed his eyes without knowing it.
You like it when I hurt you?
It's half a question, and Zevran knows exactly what he's trying to ask.
I like some pain, yes.
He picks his words carefully, listening for any change in Alistair's breathing, trying to read Alistair's face by touch in the dim light.
The crows taught me everything they know of pain, but I think that makes me a better judge than most.
Alistair shivers, his fingers tracing the tattoo again, as if it holds some secret meaning for him that Zevran doesn't understand.
Or maybe the crows made it so you don't know the difference at all.
I know the difference.
On this, at least, he is sure. Whatever doubts Alistair may have. Doubts that hang between them now, though Alistair says nothing aloud. Zevran's skin prickles at the renewed tension. Maybe it's desperation, or maybe truth-telling is like anything else, easier with practice. Whatever reason, Zevran finds himself saying,
The night Taliesin died, I tried to send you away.
Alistair nods, but the tension doesn't dissipate. So Zevran steels himself and says, "Why do you think I left you and went hunting wolves?"
"Because you thought I couldn't do it," Alistair says. By the unexpected bitterness in his voice, he still doesn't understand.
"Yes," Zevran agrees. And when Alistair tries to pull away, Zevran holds on, forcing Alistair's head up until their eyes meet.
"Yes, I wanted someone else because I thought it was too much to ask of you. Perhaps I was wrong, or perhaps I was right. A question that will haunt him for the rest of his life. But if I were truly blind to the difference between you and Hal, why would I have needed anyone else?"
This time Alistair's shiver is more like a shudder, and tears slip down his cheeks, cold against Zevran's fingers.
"I don't know," he whispers.
Zevran pulls him forward gently, a little afraid it might provoke a complete withdrawal. But Alistair moves with the pressure so quickly they almost overbalance, as if he's been holding himself back and can't any longer. His arms go around Zevran, so tight his muscles tremble with the effort, and he buries his face in the curve of Zevran's neck.
"If I thought you were like Hal," Zevran murmurs into Alistair's hair, his own eyes squeezed shut against tears, "I would have asked you for what I needed, because a wolf was what I thought I wanted."
He breathes in, letting the smell of Alistair's skin overwhelm everything else.
"The world is full of wolves and crows, Cachorro, but you have never been one of them."
The weight of Alistair's body is awkward from this angle, but Zevran can't bring himself to let go, not even for the few moments it would take to sit more comfortably. Instead, he kneels in the dirt with Alistair clinging to him, his own fingers aching where they're clenched in Alistair's shirt. He feels as if, when he lets go, Alistair will disappear. Because he will. In only a few weeks, whatever resolution they've come to here, whatever aid Morrigan offered, this ends when they return to Denerim. If Alistair lives, he'll stand beside Enora in front of their maker and swear an oath he'll never break. He'll be alive to swear the oath, though, and that's no small thing. Whatever needs to be done to make that happen, Zevran is prepared to do it. The middle of Aemon's garden is perhaps not the place for that conversation, however, and Zevran's body is protesting both the position and the cold with increasing vehemence. Alistair is still holding tightly, but he's also shifting his weight nearly constantly, as if trying to ease the pressure on his own knees. When Alistair's breathing has slowed to normal, Zevran kisses the top of his head and says,
"You'll freeze out here, Cachorro. Come inside."
By the way, Alistair's arms tighten convulsively. Zevran might as well have suggested they never see each other again.
"Then at least sit with me here," Zevran says,
freeing an arm long enough to pat the bench beside them.
"Sitting on the ground will do you no favors."
Alistair hesitates a moment before releasing him with obvious reluctance, and he doesn't stand when Zevran does. Instead, he waits until Zevran sits on the bench and then crawls across the ground to sit cross-legged at his feet, head resting against the side of Zevran's knee and one arm wrapped around Zevran's legs. It's a terrible position to be in should anyone attack, neither of them able to move quickly. Zevran ignores that and leans forward, propping one forearm across his knee and dropping the other hand to Alistair's head. His hair is damp with sweat, his face still damp with tears that soak into Zevran's trousers. But his breathing stays slow and easy. Maybe Zevran is about to ruin that, but he needs to know.
"Tell me what Morrigan plans. How can he help without the details?"
Alistair's shoulders twitch, but he presses closer to Zevran rather than pulling away. "There's a ritual. It catches the archdemon's soul, wipes away the taint." When he doesn't go on, Zevran asks,
"And the price?"
A question he won't forget to ask again. Alistair's head turns down, as if he's trying to hide his face, though Zevran can't see it anyway from this position.
Morrigan needed... She needed someone to... She needed a Grey Warden, and of course Mahariel couldn't... couldn't. After a moment, Zevran assembles all those broken pieces into a picture that makes sense. How Mahariel talked Alistair into it is a mystery. But that isn't the part Zevran cares most about. And what else? Nothing else, Alistair says. Not for us. We just don't do what Grey Wardens do. He rubs his cheek against the side of Zevran's knee and whispers, I still could, though. Take the archdemon myself. Kill it the right way. And kill yourself in the process. Zevran says, more harshly than he meant. It's what I'm supposed to do, Alistair says. Stopping blights is the only reason Grey Wardens exist. If I'm not doing that, then what's the point of becoming one at all? Will Morrigan's ritual stop this blight? Alistair hesitates, then nods. Then it seems to me that your duty as a Grey Warden is properly dispatched. He strokes Alistair's hair. The blight will be ended, and you can see Ferelden rebuilt. You've come this far already. Given Morrigan what she needs, why destroy all that work now? Instead of answering, Alistair asks, Does it bother you that Morrigan and I... He trails off, and Zevran has to swallow a laugh. That you fucked Morrigan? No, Cachorro, it does not bother me. He wants to admit exactly how far he would go if it would save Alistair's life, but that's more truth than he can say tonight. A simpler truth, for now, then. In Antiva, we take a different view of what it means to be faithful to a lover. Backwards notions of fidelity, Alistair mumbles, and he must have heard that from someone else, because it sounds nothing like him. Zevran makes an inquiring noise, curious who he's quoting. Riordan, perhaps? Orlais is more like Antiva than Ferelden, at least in this regard. Why would Alistair be discussing such things with anyone is a mystery, though. Alistair is quiet for a long time, his arm tight around Zevran's legs. And when he finally does speak, it's to ask a question of his own. What about... Would it bother you to be on the other side? To be with someone who's married? Sparks jump under Zevran's skin. A rush of hope he crushes immediately. It would depend on many things, he says, picking each word carefully. Whether I am a secret, hidden from my lover's wife or husband. Whether I am something shameful to be kept separate and apart. Right now, he would say yes to anything Alistair asked of him, but he knows it would make both of them miserable in the long run. Whether I am allowed to be a person, or treated like a thing to be displayed, so others might be jealous. I would never. I know. Zevran cups the side of his head, holding it tightly against his knee for a moment. I know you would never, but there are those who would enjoy parading their pet crow before the world. Would you stay with someone who didn't do that, even if they were married? Impossible to pretend any longer that Alistair wasn't talking about himself, and the hope leaps up again. Zevran crushes it as fast as he did before. And Honora? Alistair makes a startled choking noise, and Zevran suppresses a real smile. Did he truly think he was being subtle? To give him a moment to recover, Zevran adds, Your queen would not be so kindly disposed towards me, I fear. She said she didn't care, Alistair blurts out. Zevran's thoughts skid to a stop, a galloping horse suddenly presented with a wall it can't jump. What? She said she didn't care, Alistair says again, more slowly. That she cared about... He hums thoughtfully, like he's trying to remember what Honora said, and Zevran wants to shake him until he finishes the sentence. She said all she cared about was parody, not some backwards notion of fidelity. A distant, objective part of Zevran makes a note to personally kill anyone who tries to hurt Honora. The rest of him is divided between hope so strong it feels like terror, and an equally strong need to smother that hope before he's disappointed yet again. His voice betrays none of that when he says, "So she will have lovers of her own." Alistair nods, but Devrin can't let it go at that. "And it will not concern you when your wife takes someone else to her bed?" "No," Alistair says, without hesitation. Then, more uncertain, "I know it should, but she's right, isn't she? If I can have you, shouldn't she have someone she wants?" The air is too thick to breathe, clogging his throat until he's dizzy, and the world begins to spin. It's everything he wanted, and he can't stop looking for the hook inside the bait. His thoughts galloping once again. No one gives away anything for free, and no one gives a gift like this to a crow. There has to be some deeper motive. It all falls apart there. Because this is Alistair. Alistair, who's as transparent as a pane of the finest glass. Every thought and emotion forever on display. Alistair, who couldn't lie even to save himself from public shame, and who likely couldn't lie to save his own life. Alistair, who's turned now and come up on his knees, one hand on the bench and one hand clenched into a tight fist. And Zevran hates that he's lost track of what's happening again, but he hates the fear on Alistair's face more. "Zev?" The pet name sends a shiver through him, a name Alistair has only whispered a handful of times, always before when he was desperate with need or on the edge of release. It turns the air thick again, so that Zevran has to fight for breath against the weight on his chest. While he's struggling, Alistair asks softly, uncertain again, "Will you stay after the Archdemon?" He swallows so hard it makes Zevran's throat hurt. "I'd like it if you stayed. For a little while?" If Alistair asked, he would stay forever. But that's not something he can say out loud. He's already laid himself bare too many times tonight. "If we are somehow lucky enough to survive, I would be foolish to turn down such an offer, would I not?" He means it as a small joke, something to lighten the mood and perhaps make Alistair smile. But he knows immediately it was the wrong thing to say. "If you don't want to..." Alistair begins, trying to look stoic and mostly just looking miserable. "I want to," Zevran interrupts. He takes Alistair's face in both hands and kisses him lightly. Alistair's lips are cold, but Zevran's are no better, and Alistair tips his chin up obligingly, his hand unclenching from its fist to curl loosely around Zevran's knee. And Zevran thinks, hopes he's been forgiven. "I wish to stay," Zevran says again, enunciating each word. "And if we survive, then I shall." "If we survive," Alistair mutters. Despite his tone, he twists his hand into Zevran's hair and holds on, kissing him again and again until their mouths are warm and Zevran's fingers are tingling. When they're both breathless, Alistair sits back again, scrubbing both hands over his face. His eyes are shut, but the lines of tension around them are gone. "Come inside," Zevran says again. And this time, Alistair climbs slowly to his feet. He keeps hold of Zevran's hand as they make their way through the keep, all the way back to his room. Inside, Zevran helps him out of his clothes and into a bath, run hot enough to turn Alistair's skin pink. Zevran sits on the edge of the tub and dangles his legs in, his feet bumping against Alistair's leg as he takes each of Alistair's hands in turn and rubs elfroot salve into the scratches that still mar the skin. When he smooths away every one, he strips himself down and climbs into the tub, letting the hot water and Alistair's hands chase away the last of the cold. The end.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening.